This is a conversation you will want to be a part of. The great Milo Yiannopoulos in the studio. Milo,
oh, yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Oh, his mic isn't working, though. Let's, Steve, you can't censor him that way. Sorry, you cannot do
that.
Oh,
my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is not going to fly. There we go. There we are. Now I can hear myself beautifully.
Drew is just commenting that Milo's accent is not typical London, you know, that typical London accent. And Milo responded that he had...
Well, I like to think of it as, you know... Madonna, circa 2010,
yeah.
Guy Ritchie era.
It, it, sure. Very much the Madonna.
Or who's the other? Do you know Gillian Anderson in Bleak House? Gillian Anderson came over to England and she did a very well received version of Bleak House for the BBC, which I think was a co-production with an American company. And Gillian Anderson trying to sound like a you know, Dickensian noblewoman is a very funny thing. I have lost my accent. They tell me it's a mark of weak character, but I prefer to believe that it's because I'm such a people pleaser and I'm so eager for people to enjoy me that I'm converging with them. You know, I'm meeting them more than halfway in my accent. But either way, it is definitely going.
I think there's something that should go. I mean, I'm always a bit
Hampstead
suspect
Heath,
of.
Is that what I'm hearing? There's a little sort of aristocratic Hampstead sort of quality to it.
Well, you have a very finely tuned ear. If I was speaking, you know, I have to call someone like my mother or something to really get my accent back. And when I do get it back, I speak in what we call received pronunciation in England. So yeah. It's a sort of, you know,
I'm very well educated. People who don't lose their accent. I mean, Schwarzenegger's been here for 45 years, and he still talks like he's, you know, in like Hitler's Brigade.
But it's
No.
Manny Ramirez is always, every time that you interview Manny Ramirez, he's always like, "All right, well, I bought my baseball." I'm like, "Aren't you from Manhattan?"
I want to keep this conversation though in the realm of sort of your experience as somebody from the United Kingdom, if I suppose we could still call it such. Experiencing Americans and experiencing it in a very unique way.
Yeah.
Does the, I want to say, use a bad word, I don't want to give Steve more work, but the S-storms that you create, somebody from England, from London, does that surprise you, or is that something that we have, you know, how would you interpret that? How would a Londoner see our behavior, in other words? How do you understand that?
Well, we see you as a sort of slightly slow cousin, you know, that you see a couple of times at Thanksgiving who, you know, couldn't quite pass the SATs, but and we'd like to pat on the head and you know, and we love you the same, even if you're not, if you didn't come out right. And they sort of, the theatrical tantrums that have always been associated with American politics have always amused me as a Brit. And I think we've always found American politics to be overheated, but very new, and this is what some of my upcoming book is about, are the extraordinary outbursts of outright political violence in response to ideas that we've seen from the progressive left and from, you know, on college campuses and all the rest of it. It's been very remarkable to me.
So you're not making fun of us by evoking that?
No, actually, because it's very serious. You know, it's distressing to me because we look up to you guys. We see you as defenders of capitalism, of free speech, free expression, of, you know, all the things that make societies great. You know, all the places in the world you want to live, all the places in the world that, you know, the Rawlsian veil of ignorance. If you didn't know where you were going to be born, where would you want to be born? Where would you want to be born? Somewhere that had a modern Western liberal democracy with free speech, you know, equal rights, equal pay, all the rest of it. In other words, America. And it seems to me the progressive left in this country is determined to tear down all of the things that make this country the most wonderful. And it's what struck me as so shocking and so remarkable is that America has got to this stage now, supposedly the land of the free, home of the brave, all the rest of it, the home of the First Amendment, the one place in the world you should be able to say, do, and be anything. And you've got yourself into a situation where expressing perfectly respectable, reasonable, mainstream conservative opinions is considered to be professionally dangerous and socially disastrous. And it's got so bad that now right-leaning conservative, in your case Republican, publications are telling outright leftist lies to their own readership in order to sort of go along with this politically correct consensus.
Give me an example.
Moving for, well, let's say campus rape culture. You know, the idea that American college campuses are, you know, a uniquely dangerous place for women. They're not. They're probably one of the safest places that you could ever be as a young girl. To believe the 1 in 3, 1 in 4, 1 in 7 statistic, whichever it is, you know, on a given particular day, depending on which activist you speak to, you know, sexual assault rates on American college campuses, you would have to believe that Brandeis and Harvard have the same levels of sexual assault as the Congo, where rape is used as a weapon of war. This stuff doesn't stand up to the slightest bit of intellectual scrutiny. And yet it's now being repeated by, you know, by even right-leaning outlets. The Wage Gap's another example.